Megan, I have been using our sponsor Element, that's L-M-N-T, to boost my hydration for over a month now, and I'm really loving it. I'm just not very good at drinking plain water, and I love the taste when I pop one of these little packets, I like orange or grapefruit, into a big bottle of water. It's kind of fruity and salty, and it just helps me hydrate better overall.
Element is a zero-sugar electrolyte drink mix born from the growing body of research that shows the best health outcomes occur with higher sodium levels. Each little pack delivers a significant dose of electrolytes, but minus sugar, artificial colors, and other iffy ingredients. Element's flavors are so unique, like fruity watermelon salt and spicy sweet mango chili. And we're going to set our listeners up with a variety pack so you can find your favorite.
Right. You can receive a free Element sample pack containing 8 flavors with any drink mix purchase when you purchase through our custom link, drinkelement.com/momhour. That's DRINKELMNT/momhour. This offer is available exclusively through our partnership and is available for both new and returning customers. And if you're an Element insider, you'll have first access to Element Sparkling, a bold can of sparkling electrolyte water. Again, it's drinklmnt.com/momhour.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And I'm Sarah.
We're two moms with 8 kids between us, and we're the hosts of The Mom Hour.
On this show, we're joined by a team of unique mom voices from across the country and in different stages of motherhood to bring you tips, ideas, and encouragement, and to help you feel a little less alone.
We all know that motherhood is a lot easier when real moms share honest truths and remind each other that it's all going to be okay.
We're not experts. We're parents who've been there.
We're not perfect. We're real. Welcome to the Mom Hour. Hi, everyone, and welcome to episode 463 of the Mom Hour. I'm Megan Francis here with Sarah Powers. Hey, Sarah.
Hey, Megan. How are you?
I'm good. You ready to talk about stuff?
I love talking about stuff. You know that.
I know. Well, we both love to try out new products and we'd like to talk about them on the show, but I feel like the pattern or like the way we formulate these episodes typically is like either a specific category or we only talk about the stuff we love.
Right. Or that, yeah, that's been proven.
Right. But we haven't done an episode where we just kind of talk about a grab bag of newer things we're trying, including maybe some things we don't really love or just aren't working for us. I think sometimes there's like an onboarding process with new objects or new products or whatever, where you maybe just haven't quite figured out how to use it or how to make it work in your life or something.
Yes. And I was trying to think back like 10 years ago, and you may always have liked trying new things, Megan, but I feel like when I had a bunch of little kids, when I had 3 small kids, the idea of introducing like a new sunscreen, a new mascara or a new type, it was like too much for my brain to handle. So I'm definitely leaning in this stage of motherhood, like, or I'm just acknowledging like the brain space privilege I have in that it is fun for me to try something new. It's also fun for me to think like, ooh, what would make my skincare routine even better? Or what new app would I like to try? But it hasn't always been like that. And I guess I just want to acknowledge that.
Oh, that's so funny. Cause I feel like I'm maybe a little bit of the opposite where, almost like as a self-soothing, yeah. Like, retail therapy kind of thing. I feel like for me, early motherhood, I was more seeking out new products because it was like a pleasure or like a comfort thing I could do for myself. And now I find that like, I could be looking for so many more new things and I tend to kind of settle into where I am and not branch out as much. So it's interesting. Maybe we just all kind of gravitate back toward the middle. Like when we're in a high stress situation, which having little kids is a high stress situation, maybe you go to like the extreme of your personality type, which for me would be novelty seeking and you would be maybe routine seeking. And then we gravitate back toward the middle. So that's actually a perfect segue into my question for you. And I think that the way we're going to answer this question could be kind of telling of where we both are, but it's early in the day for both of us. It's not even 1 o'clock my time, which means it's not even 10 o'clock AM your time.
Yeah.
So far today, you've been awake for several hours, but like you haven't really gotten into your day yet. How many new-ish to you products, like let's say purchased in the last 6 months, acquired in the last 6 months, have you already used today, consumed today, put on your body, you know?
Well, this was fun to answer. And when I first read this question in our outline, I thought, oh my gosh, probably none. And then I started thinking about it. So I'm literally
taking inventory of my body right now, by the way.
Well, I washed my hair today, which I only wash my hair twice a week. So a full wash hair shower, you know, like when you give yourself the full shower treatment.
Yeah.
That obviously brings up more opportunity. So I guess fortunate for the podcast outline, I have a few. But the first one was pre-shower. I went to my workout class this morning and I wore a new sports bra that I purchased at Costco in a 2-pack.
Wow.
Over the weekend. I know. Really
wow.
Exciting life over here. It's Puma brand. It's Puma brand. And I really liked it. So 2-pack from Costco. Brand new to me. And first time I wore it today, sports bra. I also have a like heat protectant spray that I spray on my hair after I wash it and then comb through. And that might be a little more than 6 months old, but it's still new to me. I didn't have anything like that. And it was recommended to me the last time I got my haircut, or a couple times ago. So I used that. I found a moisturizer in the bottom drawer of my bathroom, like drawers that I purchased a long time ago, but I've never used. And my skin's been extra dry. So I wanted something even before my sunscreen moisturizer, I wanted like something right out of the shower on my face. It was just CeraVe brand, that drugstore okay. brand,
yep.
like a really plain, but it felt really good. So that was a face moisturizer. And then in the shower, I used a shave lotion that I don't really enjoy at all, but I'm just using it. It was new to me a couple months ago and I'm just using it up and waiting to try something new again. So how about you? That's like four things that I thought of.
That's
right off
the bat. Lot more new things than I would have expected to have used by 10 a.m.
I know, but it's all about the shower routine.
Well,
right?
Shower like, day and yeah. a Costco trip. That changes everything, right?
And I hadn't been to Costco in like a year, but I picked up a couple of sports bras.
Well, today was not a shower day for me. I am riding dirty. So I had to think about this really hard. I had to actually kind of go head to toe just to see if I missed anything. I am wearing a pair of Woolex leggings. I've talked about those on the show before. I want to quickly say that I bought two pair of Woolex leggings. And I think they were both like in October, or maybe one was in October and one was in November. Like sometime like within the last 6 months, but close to being on the outside of the 6 months. And one pair has held up really, really well. And the other one didn't. And they refunded the entire amount. And these had been worn. Ooh, I mean, I was super honest. I said, I have worn and washed these like so many times. And I said, usually, well, I said this to myself. I didn't say all this to the customer service person who would be like, thank you, I don't care. But usually,
how much time do you have, ma'am?
Let me tell you about my leggings. But typically, like if I had a pair of like a piece of clothing wear out after 5 months, let's say, and as many times as I've worn these leggings and as many times as I've washed them, I usually, even if it was technically still like warranted, I usually wouldn't say anything. The only reason I did is because I have two pair and I washed them and I basically have been cycling through them one to one. Like it's been almost the exact same experience. And the pair that I did not have problems with is older. So I just said, it feels like an anomaly because I washed them the same. I wear them the same amount. And one kind of got that stretchy out thing in the crotch where they start to become kind of see-through. And then one day a random like little hole appeared. And I was well, you know, sometimes there's quality issues with the color or something.
Yeah.
And I thought maybe they'd give me like a store credit or a discount, and they refunded my entire, these are like $140 leggings.
Yeah.
And they refunded the whole thing. So I was like, yay to Woolex customer service. And I still, big shout out. Still adore the ones I'm wearing, and they told me just to keep them for loungewear or whatever. But I'm wearing the non rippy crotch holy ones today. So those are newish, but everything else on my body, I think, is oldish, old favorites. I've been like really in a daily fashion kind of rut. Over this winter, I feel like I'm just comfy cozy all the time. I am starting to look toward, you know, it's early spring here and I'm starting to look with an eye toward fashion again, but it just hasn't been a super fashionable winter.
Well, we did that episode, what we're wearing lately, not that long ago. And you did say what you're in need of is a whole new look. So it sounds
like it's like everything.
The whole new look has not materialized yet.
It has not yet. However, on my face, there were two new products used. One is an e.l.f. primer that I'm going to talk about in a little bit. Okay. And the other is that I bought fancy new face shavers because I used to buy like some cheapos at TJ Maxx and they work okay. But I was at the, you know, for my fuzzy face. Mm-hmm. And I was just at Meijer. So our local, like, you know, big box superstore. And they, I think it's Flamingo brand. They have like shavers that. And things. Me too.
I haven't looked at their face shavers, but I have, that is the shave cream that I like that I ran out of when I got this other one at Target that I am not a fan of. And I have their razors too. I like them a lot.
Me too. As a side note, I think we could have a whole discussion. I'm going to put a pin in this, but at some point in this conversation, I want to talk about the tyranny of razors, but I'll get to that in a bit. Okay. I really am impressed with like their product line. They have everything. So they have like, they have just not only like razors for your legs, but they have special razors for everywhere and they have different creams and they have different solutions and things like that. But anyway, I believe it was Flamingo. I'm pretty sure I bought their 3-pack of face razors and they're just a little nicer. I mean, a face razor is like not, it's really not rocket science. It's a blade that won't, well, they can cut you. I do have a scar in my face from a face razor blade that I wielded in the wrong direction. But most of the time, they're just kind of like a little safety razor, right? That you use on your face. And this one's just a smidge nicer. Nice. So that's it. I think everything else today has been kind of same old so far.
Well, and when we get into the new products we have been trying, we are expanding outside of beauty and
yes,
skincare and bathroom stuff too. In fact, I think those are underrepresented for me. I actually have some totally unrelated new things I've been trying. So I think this is going to be fun.
It's funny because I was actually racking my brain about that too. Like, have I consumed anything new today? Have I used a new app on my phone? And I was like, nope,
nope,
nope, nope, nope. Not yet. There's still time.
The day is young.
First of all, I want to say that when we start talking about specific products, I think we're both, like, if we're both struggling or one of us is struggling to make something work or looking for a better solution, we're always open to suggestions.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Please email us hello@themomhour.com and let us know.
I will be directly asking for like support and
yes,
thoughts and prayers when I get to my mascara situation.
Like, tell us how to do the thing we're not doing right. We love that. And maybe we can help each other out because I might have an idea for you about the mascara, which I am making work. But we'll get to that in a little bit. Let's kick this off. Can we just gripe about razors for a minute? Because I have a really specific recent story about razors that is just grinding my gears, just chapping my hide.
Yep.
Okay. Like many, I buy my razors at the drugstore. I guess most people do, unless you buy like through a subscription or something.
Yeah.
And over the past, I'm going to say 5 years, but like especially the last, say, 2 years, the number of both branded razor options and the like the store's generic offshoots have exploded. I feel like the women's razor aisle now is like it's a whole shopping experience
too
when
much.
You go in there. And now what I started to notice, and I feel like this is intentional, is that the packages clearly or don't usually clearly show what the end looks like of the razor and how it gets inserted in the blade. So what
Wait,
happens
say
for
more.
Me,
my brain okay. is not picturing what you're talking about.
You know, like with a razor, like at the end, unless you use disposables, the end pops off and you replace the blade. Mm-hmm. So if you don't remember what blade goes with what razor, you need to know what both ends look like.
Like
you have
to see it. The attachment point.
Yeah, the attachment point, the male and female end or whatever they call that, right? So you have to know what that looks like. And I don't feel like the branding does a very good job of making that clear, probably on purpose. So what has happened with me is I would see a new brand and be like, oh, it's on sale. I'm going to experiment with it. Take it home, run out of blades, go back to the store, buy the wrong blades because I forgot which blade goes with the razor. And it just doesn't feel like it's clear. Sometimes now they look very similar, but they're not quite the same. And sometimes even within like the Gillette brand, for example, used to be like they were all interchangeable. Now I have a Gillette brand razor that does not fit the Gillette brand head.
That's what I was going to ask is when you're heading back to grab replacements, are you sticking within the same brand family or like switching brands?
But so that's what I'm trying to do now because I'm realizing it's just a big racket. But the problem is, so then I buy blades that don't fit the handle. Now I have to buy a new handle to fit the new blades. Do you see where I'm going with this?
I do.
Now I have so many handles. They're all different brands. But then I go to the store and I freeze because I'm like, I don't even know. I don't. And sometimes like razors for me can sometimes be sort of a last minute. Like I'm in the store and I think, oh, shoot, I'm already over by the, you know, personal care stuff. I need razors. Let me go grab one. And then I stand there and I'm like, I don't want to go home without a razor. But honestly, I'm second guessing myself. So or sometimes I'll make one like my travel bag razor and it gets left someplace.
Yeah.
And now I've got blades that don't fit. You see, it's just a mess.
I do.
And it's mostly my fault. Like I don't have a system in place for this, but it's also a little irritating because I feel like it's almost intentionally deceptive the way they're marketed.
So much of marketing is sadly.
Right.
I feel like this is a case where if we were doing like what was that show? Like the makeover show where they used to stop people in the street, like some kind of intervention where I was coming into your bathroom to help with this situation. We would just together throw out as much as we could. But we would
here's
pick
the
one
problem.
Brand.
It's a waste because now I'm going to have something that doesn't go with something else. And there's a really good chance that in my house someplace, there's like a whole $18 five pack of blades that one day I'm going to find. And they're going to go to that handle that right now feels bladeless. I hear you. Yes. What I need to do is throw everything out, keep one handle and start over. But it's not like I have a favorite either. They're all kind of good now.
I feel like you need to pick one brand. And I will tell you that you already brought up Flamingo. I have a Flamingo razor. I think I have two. One stays in my travel bag and one is on this little suction mount thing in my shower. So it sticks there and it hangs there. And I have not had this problem in about 3 years since I got this razor.
Well, I believe
I
it was maybe
Flamingo blades.
I think it was me that told you about Flamingo in the first place.
Maybe.
And I also was Flamingo loyal for a bit. And then I think my Flamingo razor wound up in my suitcase. It's a whole thing. We don't need to keep going on this, Sarah. I'm a mess. But the funny thing is now I'm back to Flamingo because it's a very specific color. Uh-huh. And the blade really does look different. It doesn't look quite the same. It's harder to mix it up.
Yeah. Okay.
The Flamingo versus many of the other brands.
A good minimalist approach for you.
Sarah, we both know this time of year can be crazy. So this is a great time to get ahead with no prep, no mess meals from our sponsor, Factor. I love how these meals are ready to eat and delivered right to your door. I mean, you can't beat that convenience, but most importantly, they're seriously delicious.
Yeah, Megan, I agree. Our whole family was impressed with the quality and flavor of Factor meals we tried. And it turned out to be a great option for my teenagers when they got home late from a theater practice or came home from school super hungry. There's zero prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. Factor meals just need to be heated for about 2 minutes and they're ready to go.
Yeah, and for any listeners with wellness goals this month, Factor has 6 menu preferences to support your lifestyle, whether you're trying to boost your protein, avoiding meat, or simply focusing on well-balanced meals. And you can pause or reschedule deliveries to fit your lifestyle.
Make today the day you kickstart a new healthy routine. Head to factormeals.com/momhour50 and use code momhour50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code MOMHOUR50 at factormeals.com/MOMHOUR50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
We are welcoming back Vionic as a sponsor today. And Sarah, I will be honest. I was sorting through my warmer weather wardrobe the other day and it could seriously use a refresh. But you know what's good to go? My shoes. I've got a great selection to choose from thanks to the Vionic Vitals collection. And lately, the pair I keep putting on again and again is the Uptown Loafer. I have 2 pairs, one in sand suede and the other in camel leather. But please don't make me pick a favorite.
Oh, I won't. I'll let you keep both. That's so funny, Megan, because I was a little jealous of your Uptown Loafers. I was the last one on our team to get a pair, but I just did. I also got mine in the sand suede, and I think I've worn them like 4 times this week. They really finish off a cute spring outfit. The Vionic Vitals collection has the best essential styles for everyday wear to get you ready for spring. And no matter what shoes you choose, you'll be on the go in comfort because every single pair of Vionic shoes delivers their trademark VioMotion technology for a difference you can feel. Vionic sandals, sneakers, and flats all offer incredible support, stability, and cushioning, and every pair comes with a 30-day risk-free trial, so it's easy to try them out.
Use code THEMOMHOUR15 at checkout for 15% off your entire order at vionicshoes.com when you log into your account. That's a one-time use only. Vionic shoes, wearable well-being for your feet.
Okay, Megan. Well, over here at the Mom Hour, we are big fans of our sponsor, Our Place. In fact, you, me, and our team member, Katie, were all comparing notes on our favorite product. Katie was telling us that even though she's packing up to move her family to a new house, she cannot put that mini perfect pot from Our Place into the boxes yet because she's using it like every night.
Well, as someone who also has a perfect pot, I got mine as part of their mini home cook duo set. I get it. It's nonstick, which is key, but it also has all these handy features like a steam release lid with a built-in strainer and this nice beechwood spoon that nests on the handle in this perfect little peg.
Okay, well, I didn't get this pot, but now I want it. That sounds so great. Our Place's cookware is great to cook with, beautiful to look at, and healthier for us as well. All of Our Place's products are made without PFAS, also known as forever chemicals. In addition to their cookware and tableware, Our Place is also making waves with their Wonder Oven, the most stylish all-in-one air fryer and toaster oven. Again, free from the forever chemicals found in many of those air fryers.
Listeners, Our Place offers a 100-day trial with free shipping and returns, and we've got a great deal for you. Go to FromOurPlace.com and enter the code MOMHOUR at checkout to receive 10% off site-wide. That's FromOurPlace.com, code MOMHOUR. Okay, well, I'm glad I got my angst, my razor angst off my chest. I'll report back if I do what you told me, but I'll probably just keep messing this up and being mad about it because Okay. Now it's a thing. Now it's the thing. And I always do have extras if people come over and want, you know, to take one home with them. Please take a
good
razor.
Good to know.
Yeah. I can't offer you necessarily a blade or sometimes I have the blade and no razor handle. I've actually tried to shave with just
the blade before. I can picture that.
I wouldn't recommend it.
No,
I would not recommend
dangerous.
It.
Dangerous.
All right. Let's get to the point of this episode, which is let's talk about our new products. Sarah, why don't you start?
Okay.
We're just going to go in kind of random order and we're just each going to share something newish that we're using and whether we like it or not.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my first one is like a nesting doll of newness because it first involves me trying something wildly new and then leading to a new app. But you have to stick around for the backstory, which is that I am a left-handed person. I write with my left hand. I'm a fully left-handed person. Left-handed people often wear their wristwatch on their right hand. And the idea is you wear your watch on your non-dominant hand. And most right-handed people wear their watch on their left. This is how the world works. So it actually sounds like left-handed people are kind of split. Some of them wear their watch on their right and some of them keep it on their left because watches themselves are really built for a right-handed world. Like the little turny knob, the little dial. And all of that. So I went down this rabbit hole a few weeks ago, maybe a month ago. And I want to wear my Apple Watch to sleep to track my sleep. Why, Megan? I don't know. I just feel like I want the data. Other people seem to like this sleep data. I've worn an Apple Watch for a long time.
Well, weren't we talking about it? Weren't you and I like actually talking in depth about, had you already been thinking about this before I started doing it?
No, you are an influence and my brother is an influence too. So I'm
influenced. So that's why we told you. It's not like we told you and that's why you're doing it, but it's a thing right now.
It is Everyone's a thing right now. Okay, yeah. So this is a convoluted story, but it starts with me wanting to track my sleep. So then to track my sleep, I need to wear my watch during the night. I try wearing my watch during the night and it drives me crazy and it keeps me up. And I wake up in the morning and I'm not only have been annoyed that I've had my watch on all night, but also it didn't track my sleep. And so that was frustrating. I did that and I was playing with the settings. It wasn't tracking my sleep. Well, in the meantime, I am noticing about myself that I actually don't like wearing my watch at all during the day. I often take it off when I do dishes. I take it off when I come in the house. And I started putting two and two together, like these two things of being like irritated by just the sensation of wearing a watch and then also wanting to push through that irritation to sleep with it. And I thought, I wonder what would happen if I switched wearing my watch on my left, on my dominant hand, to switching to wearing it on my right, my non-dominant hand. So 40 years into wearing a wristwatch or however long, I switched hands. So talk about trying something new. Like anyone who wears a watch, how weird would that feel to actually switch which hand? And I have to report that in terms of this thing of trying something new, I actually like it. I think this makes sense for me. I notice I don't take it off as reflexively when I'm doing stuff around the house. And it makes sense because I'm doing things with my dominant hand and my watch is on the other hand. So that is the trying something new that I have enjoyed and successfully employed. It actually cost no money. I just moved my watch from my left to my right. But now we're back at the trying something new, which is tracking my sleep. So my brother has recommended an app called Auto Sleep, and I would take any listener recommendations. For some reason, with my Apple Watch and my Apple Health app, I was trying to sleep with the watch and it didn't know that I was asleep. Like there was no data, even though I kept it on. I looked into the settings a million times and I couldn't figure it out. And so my brother tracks his sleep. He works night shifts and has to really like be on top of his sleep. And he recommended an app called Auto Sleep, and I did download it yesterday. And it's supposed to just simply recognize when you are sleeping and you don't have to do anything else. And then it imports all that data or it syncs that data with like all the Apple Health stuff. So that is the TBD. That is what I will be trying now that I am a little more used to sleep, to not to sleeping. I still haven't gotten over that hurdle, but to wearing my watch.
You still can't sleep. Oh, with your watch. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, the sleep app thing and the health app thing, you and I had a whole side vent about that. Yeah. And I don't use an Apple Watch. I use a Garmin, but because I use an Apple phone, I'm sort of stuck in the Apple ecosystem when it comes to literally any app based anything. So like if I'm using something to track, so I'm using my Garmin to track my sleep, but if I want to integrate that with any other app and I use several, it has to go through Apple Health. That's like the only way it like writes it from it or reads from it or whatever. And I was also having a lot of trouble with that. I felt like kind of gave up. I only look at my sleep data on the Garmin app. I don't try to like get it to work with anything else because it just doesn't.
But at least you know at least you have it.
I know I was asleep. But you can't even know.
I have no idea.
How would you know if you had slept if your watch doesn't tell you?
Oh my gosh. What are we living in? What kind of crazy future are we living in? It's so silly. Do I need this data? No. I just am curious about it.
And I will tell you that for me, if this app that you're thinking about trying is a paid app, I would just do a trial because after I looked at my sleep data for like 2 weeks, I was like, well, okay,
right.
There it is. And
I did
notice a small, slight difference in certain things. Like I could tell if I had alcohol that I didn't sleep quite as well, or if I exercise, I sleep better, just as examples. But I would look at the data and be like, well, I'm not surprised. Like I know I didn't sleep well because I could tell I wasn't sleeping well. So it didn't really tell me anything I didn't know. And I know you can dial super in. Like if you have certain apps, will do things like compare your stress levels against your sleep, against your food. But I don't want to be tracking I just don't really want to be looking at numbers all the time. So I think it's interesting data, but then I'm like, okay, done now.
It was a paid app, but only a one time, not a subscription. So I'm fine with that. It's worth my $5. I would be curious, listeners. I want to hear from left-handed people and which hand you wear a watch on, because in my casual internet research, it's quite split and I can see arguments for both. And then also, I don't know, tell us why you track your sleep and how you do it, because I do think this is interesting.
Well, while we've got people emailing us, I would also love to hear from anybody who may have an Oura ring. Mm-hmm. They're expensive, but that's supposedly
the new. I have a friend who has one and loves it.
Yeah, I've heard from a couple people who really love theirs, but I have not been convinced to make the jump, mostly because it looks kind of chunky. And I'm like, what if I get it and I don't like it on my finger, you know, and again, with the data, like, am I going to do anything with this data? The nice thing about a ring is it's not a watch. You could just leave it on all the time and probably kind of forget about it. And there's nothing to look at. It's not like there's no temptation to be like playing with it or.
Right. It's not going to send you text messages. I don't think. Right. Maybe it will.
Probably beams them right into your brain. So, all right. Well, I'm going to start with sharing a health related purchase. Actually, it wasn't a purchase. I didn't buy it. My aunt is moving out of her home in Chicago and moving to Florida. And so basically my siblings and I and nieces and nephews and kids and stuff have been there a couple of times helping her kind of get it all cleaned out. And it's one of those everything must go kind right. of like I'm moving into a relative's house hundreds or thousands of miles away. So take everything. And so she gave me an under the desk elliptical machine. It's a Cubi is the brand, C-U-B-I.
Okay.
And it looks like a little, like a tiny little elliptical that you sit on the floor. And so she has two, she's got some stuff going on with her legs. And she has one that powers itself. And it basically just helps like with pain in her legs. And
okay. And circulation
her,
probably.
Yeah. Circulation. Yeah. And the other one became harder to use for her. And I think she just decided she wanted the one that does all the work. She didn't want to do the work. So right. this, I think, can be like legitimate exercise. But I'm like, first of all, I don't usually work at a desk. And the one that I have been working at is like a draft table that's up off the ground. So that won't work. I have to like kind of rethink my whole thing to make this work because I'm not sure right now where I'd put it that I would actually be like likely to use it. But it's actually quite nice and cool looking. And I love the idea of being moving even when I'm sitting. For one thing, I'm a fidgeter. And I feel like it's right. just good for my, like when I start to get myself all creatively stuck, what I really want to do is get up and pace around. Well, when yeah. I get up and pace around, yeah. then I find myself loading the dishwasher. So it would be really nice to have that movement without actually leaving my desk. But I just, it's like the kind of thing that I think is a great idea, but I have a bad feeling it's just going to sit there staring at me, kind of like an in-home treadmill or something. It's a great idea, but do you use it?
Okay, so I already need help picturing it because when you first told me about this off the podcast, I was picturing treadmill. I mean, you said elliptical, but I was just picturing treadmill. So now I'm picturing elliptical, but you're sitting down. So are you kind of yeah. like cycling your feet, almost like
you're
pedaling?
Like it's like the, it's kind of like pedaling. Like it's okay. like you're pumping your feet.
Yeah.
Here, I will throw a link in the show notes. But yeah, it's like imagine an elliptical, but there's nothing to hold on to with yeah. your hands. There's right. no apparatus. You're just like pumping your feet, but you can give it resistance uh-huh. And all those things. Okay, there's the link. They're not cheap. Oh. I would actually love to hear from anyone who just now, basically this whole episode is just a plea for help. But I would love to hear from anybody who's regularly using something like this.
Yeah. Shawnee on our contributor team, this has now been a couple of years, but she got a very compact under desk treadmill. So for yeah. standing desk. And was
very, I don't think I totally could use something like it. That at all okay. because I don't like moving up and down while I'm working. So if I go to like the gym, say I can't read while I'm on the treadmill at the gym, I feel like I almost get seasick.
Okay.
So what I like about these is you're sitting
right
and pumping your legs, but your upper body really isn't moving.
I don't think I would like this. This is a no go for me. It's
no,
like,
why?
Well, I think for kind of similar reasons, it's like for my brain to be in a focused state, I might be kind of fidgeting my feet. I might be changing my position or shifting my weight, but I don't think I would like the sort like of the repetitive resistance. Mm-hmm. Yes, the rhythmic repetitive. Maybe for reading or something, I could see that, yeah. but not for the kind of thinky work that I'm usually doing while sitting. I don't
well,
know.
What I might do is just put it under the dining room table and try yeah. it a few times. And then if I'm like, no, this isn't working, then it's, you know, I didn't spend any money on it. No. So maybe there'll be somebody else who would like it. But it's the kind of like, I want it to work. I want to want
yeah.
it.
I know. You know, I know exactly what you mean.
I
yes.
like the idea, but yeah. We'll see. Okay. It was an impulse. What's the thing that's not an impulse purchase, but like an impulse acquisition? Yes. Like someone else is giving it to you. You're like, sure, why not? And right. then. Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like you need to set a 60-day timer for yourself and then just decide that you are going to decide like after a certain amount of time that this is either staying or going. And that way, yeah. like you can give it its trial run and then make a decision.
Yeah.
All right. Well, my next one can be relatively quick because it is something new that I tried and I love and that I'm now addicted to. And that is Duolingo. So this is the language learning app that people have been talking about for, I don't know. My kids got on Duolingo during early pandemic, so it's not new, several years old. But it is an app for your phone. There's a free version. I am on the free version. But you can practice a foreign language. And
sorry, I just opened my Duolingo because I wanted to see it started talking at me. I wanted to see where I was in my streak. Okay, continue.
Okay, good. Well, you have been doing Duolingo for how many days? You just
596. 596 days. And that is only the days I've actually kept up my streak. We can talk, we should talk about all the ins and outs of having the free account.
Okay.
Because it is different than having the paid.
Do you have the paid?
No.
Okay.
But if you have the paid, I don't think you have to win to continue your streak.
Right.
You don't have to complete a lesson. Okay. So I have a streak right now. That's 596 days. Now, sometimes I freeze my streak, but for me to freeze a streak, I have to earn enough coins to buy a streak freeze, for one thing. So there's been a few times it's been iffy. Like, I'm traveling.
Sounding like a video game, people. It is. Yes. It's just a video game on your phone.
So I'm traveling and I think I'm not going to be able to make my streak because I don't have any internet. And I'm kind of freaking out because I'm not sure if I have any streaks. I don't have enough coins to buy streaks. Like, that's the kind of thing. So my sister had the paid version. But the paid version, I don't believe, first of all, you don't get ads. But I also don't think you have to complete a lesson to continue your streak.
Okay.
With the unpaid version, if you don't finish a lesson, you don't get credit. So if you fail and run out of hearts, you have to go like practice to earn more hearts.
Okay.
To continue your streak. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Yeah. Yes. So it's a whole thing.
It's a whole thing. Yeah. I had been watching you. I mean, I've even been hanging out with you like in a hotel room while you're doing your Duolingo. And I was very familiar with it, but I had no personal interest until we booked this trip to Italy and Switzerland for early this summer. And I took 3 years of Italian in college. So I have a foundation in Italian, and I have not touched it in whatever, 20 years. And I thought, oh, that would be perfect as I'm planning for this trip. I don't have any aspirations of like being fluent or even super conversational, but I thought it would just help me to remind myself of some vocabulary. And Italian and Spanish have a lot of overlap. And then there's also areas where they're really different. And in my real life here, where I live and who I see and talk to, I'm around Spanish a lot and not around Italian at all. So I also thought, I think it will help me remember the ways in which it is both similar and very different from Spanish. So I downloaded Duolingo. This is, my streak is like 37 days or something. So I can tell you exactly how long. We're just over a month ago. And I love it. Now, Megan, you and I did an episode not that long ago called Rethinking Instagram, where we talked about different journeys around that and social media. I'm not using any social media on my phone or really any at all. And I don't have a lot of like mindless scrolling options on my phone anymore. I've removed those for myself. So Duolingo is like my brain candy. And you made fun of me because in the beginning I was like doing it a lot. I think it's right-sized a little bit where I do it like maybe 10 minutes a day or something like that. But the funny thing is I got my brother hooked on it like just a couple of weeks ago. And now he is the one who's like totally addicted. And so, yeah, it's fun.
Well,
there's no harm in Duolingo. I feel like
there is no harm.
It feels very harmless. I guess you could get addicted.
It's not the same as being addicted to Instagram because it's just not the same. There's for lots of reasons. I think why I was making a little bit of fun is because I felt like Duolingo was shaming me because it connected you and me on a friend's quest. It's called a friend quest. And basically that just means we can give each other high fives and trade XP points. I don't actually know what to do with my XP points. I have a whole bunch of them. I think you can trade them in for stuff. I don't really care that much about that, but every day it would be like, Sarah did 10 lessons today. Look at Sarah, give her a high five. And I would just, I am now on the point where I do one lesson just to keep my streak going. Right. That's it. I don't, maybe if I have like a lot of free time, I might do two or three on a weekend or something. But for the most part, it's obligatory. Now I'm doing Finnish, which is a weird.
Very different than me.
It's a weird language
Italian.
That I have zero knowledge of. No, I don't really have any reason to hear it spoken or see it used. It's just not that kind of language. It's not like a romance language, right?
And it doesn't layer over or match up against other languages you are familiar with. It's like completely different.
Exactly. Yeah. Totally different. I will say, if you put me in a room and told me with a bunch of Finns and said, tell them where you know, what you want, I would, I'd be very limited, but I would probably be able to pick up what they were saying now. And I'm just noticing, like, I can type out entire sentences without having to think about it very hard. And so, I mean, considering I do this for about 5 minutes a day, you know, for 600 days, but it just kind of shows you that if you stick with something, you can see progress. And like, for me, that's progress. Now, I would need to take it to a different level. If I wanted to go spend time in Finland, I would probably start watching Finnish TV or something. Like, I don't think this would do the job, but it's given me a really solid foundation in how the language works, which is very different from how English works.
Yeah. So, no, I think there's a lot of good. My brother started it because he's a nurse and he has a pretty, like, a large number of Spanish speaking only patients, and they're really short on translators at the hospital. And he studied and spoken Spanish over the course of his life. He just hasn't done it recently. So I think it can be a nice refresher. It could be, like you, just an introduction to a new language. So we're pro Duolingo over here.
Yeah. If you join, maybe you'll run into Sarah and I in there. We could have quests together.
We're overachieving.
Yeah. Megan did one lesson this week and Sarah did 25. Anyway, it has calmed down lately, but it does still remind me of your success. It's just trying to motivate me. Sarah, our sponsor, Hiya Health, makes a kid's daily multivitamin that parents can feel great about giving their kids because they have no added sugars or dyes. And our kids who have tried Hiya vitamins have loved them, which is important, right? Because what good is a bottle of vitamins that your kid won't take?
Hiya was founded by two dads who didn't like the ingredients label on some of the popular children's vitamins they were seeing on store shelves, so they got to work developing a formula that would help fill the most common nutrient gaps in modern kids' diets. Hiya's chewable kids vitamin is made with a blend of 12 organic fruits and vegetables and then supercharged with 15 essential vitamins and minerals. They're also vegan, dairy-free, allergy-free, gelatin-free, and nut-free.
Hiya manufactures their vitamins right here in the USA with globally sourced ingredients, and then they ship their chewable vitamins directly to your door on a pediatrician-recommended schedule. We've worked out a special deal with Hiya for their best-selling children's vitamin. You're going to get 50% off your first order. To claim this deal, go to hiyahealth.com/momhour. This deal is not available on their regular website. Go to hiyahealth.com/momhour and get your kids the full body nourishment they need to grow into healthy adults.
We are welcoming back Ritual as a sponsor today. Megan, we both try to make healthy choices, but you know, sometimes it's tricky to sort through fact and fiction when it comes to supplements and vitamins to figure out just what they're doing for us. That's why I'm glad Ritual keeps studying their products and sharing the results, especially as it relates to women, since women are the focus of all Ritual's products, including the Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin.
And the results are super reassuring. Just as an example, Ritual conducted a university-led clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin, and it was shown to increase vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin is made with high-quality and traceable key nutrients in clean, bioavailable forms with 9 key nutrients in 2 capsules per day. Plus, they are leading the industry when it comes to sustainability. They use lower carbon packaging and prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients. That kind of thoughtfulness really matters to me.
No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/themomhour. Start Ritual or add the Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/themomhour for 25% off. Megan, our sponsor, Carnegie Hall Kids, is a free website for kids ages 5 to 12 to learn about music through fun games and quizzes. I'm really excited to tell everybody about their new Sights You Can Hear quiz. This is really cool. It's an online quiz you can do with your kids or they can do on their own, and it plays a piece of music, and then you guess what visual image or scene it sounds like.
Our listeners may have heard the name Carnegie Hall because of their live performances, but they might not know about all the educational resources they also have for kids and families on their website.
Carnegie Hall Kids ignites imagination in children, offering activities that both encourage musical curiosity and develop knowledge of musical concepts. And did we mention free? If you haven't yet, you're definitely going to want to check out Carnegie Hall Kids' Interactive Musical Explorers Around the World map. It teaches kids different musical traditions like Vietnamese folk, cumbia from Colombia, bluegrass and jazz from the U.S., and more.
Start the musical journey early and go to kids.carnegiehall.org to check out fun, child-friendly games and quizzes. That's kids.carnegiehall.org. Okay, so my next new-to-me product is more in that personal care beauty category. And this is something, Sarah, we did that episode not too long ago about ways we were trying to be more sustainable, and definitely packaging is a place that I am trying to reduce my impact, et cetera. And I'm also somebody who tends to have a lot of half empty conditioner and shampoo bottles, not because I know we've talked about how you like to empty things out. And I do too. I don't like to have clutter lying around, but I have too many hair products. I have a shampoo for days that I want to clarify. I have a shampoo for a day that I want to, you know, take out the red tones in my hair. Like, I have all these different shampoos. And so what it adds up to is the feeling that I'm throwing away a disproportionate number, amount of packaging in the shampoo and conditioner arena.
Yep.
The reason it doesn't seem that way in other categories in my life is because I just throw them out and then they're gone. And so I never think about them again.
Right. So you're not seeing the accumulation.
Right. So I think I have like two conditioner bottles and three shampoo bottles or something in my shower. And I started to get annoyed with myself. It was like, that's it. I'm switching to bar shampoo and bar conditioner. Well, bar shampoo I've used before. It works fine. Like it takes a little bit of doing to get the lather going, but it's fine. I don't like rubbing it right on your head like you're supposed to. I always feel like I'm getting breakage when I do that. So I tend to like kind of like lather it up in my hands and then rub it on my scalp. And I have a scalp bar. You and I have both got scalp bars from a hair care company.
That's my only experience. And I can't remember. That was a previous sponsor, but that one was not a shampoo, but it was like a scalp treatment or something. I loved that actually.
It kind of acted as a shampoo though.
Yeah.
Because it was a scalp. It was like almost more like a clarifying shampoo, I think, that you were supposed to use like in bar form that you're supposed to use like twice a week or once a week.
I liked that. I would actually.
And it's so it works. It lathers. Now I went to my local superstore. I was just curious one day when I needed to buy a shampoo and conditioner. And I thought, oh, I saw that they had a conditioner bar. So I decided to try it. Now here's what I noticed. It doesn't do anything. Like, it's just a bar, like a slippery, hard, like coconut oil and something else bar. But it doesn't come off on my hair in the amount I need for it to actually condition my hair. Does that make, like, and it if you could like whip it around in your hands for a long time and your hands will get slippery, but there's no goop to it.
There's nothing. Yeah. And conditioner also needs to be worked into your hair, mostly at the ends, right? Like, we're not supposed to be putting a lot of conditioner at our scalp level. So I don't want to rub it all
over my head. Yeah.
Right.
So I did read that it needs to be a lot softer. And I did read that there are brands that do that better. Mm-hmm. But then I went to the salon and she washed my hair with Aveda. And I walked out and my hair smelled good for like 4 days. And I was like, I think I'm just going to buy Aveda shampoo and conditioner from now on because it smells amazing. And I'll just buy a huge bottle. I only wash my hair like twice a week. Yeah. It's going to take forever to go through that bottle of shampoo and conditioner. Yeah. It's expensive. But when I thought about the other things I spend money on that don't give me the same amount of pleasure as smelling amazing Aveda hair all day would give me. So it's just kind of funny because like I had all these big, I guess, lofty sort of what, like this idea that I was going to make this shift and that it kind of didn't work. And then my next thought was actually, never mind. I'm just going to go back
to packaging. Yeah.
Back to packaging in this one category. And that's, I think that's just realistic. Like
I've
we all,
that. I mean, I've definitely done that in the sustainability world. Dishwasher detergent, number one. I was fully on sustainable, like biodegradable, and then my dishes weren't clean. And now I'm like back on the pods. So it happens.
It happens. And I think the point is, or I guess you can just keep trying or keep your eyes open, keep your mind open, look for other ways. You know, if I if I was really thinking about how to make a less of an impact, right? And I am, but there are other tweaks I could make today that would actually make a much bigger difference than whether or not I have my shampoo or conditioner in a bottle. So that's where I kind of landed with that.
Well, and your hair smells good. And
my hair smells well, it will when I go buy it. Because I haven't bought it yet. I've just been thinking about it. But
in the plan.
Yep.
Okay. Are you ready for my mascara journey?
I think so.
Okay.
I'm girding my loins. Is that the right term? I don't know.
I don't think so. I wear mascara pretty much every day. Often it's the only makeup I wear. Often I wear like a tinted sunscreen moisturizer and mascara and call it a day. We have had a sponsor before, Thrive Cosmetics, not currently a sponsor, but I have really enjoyed a lot of their makeup and skincare products. And I've gone back to buy some of them on my own after the sponsorship is over. They have this lengthening mascara that falls under the category of tubing mascara. Did you know this was a term? Like, have you been using this term, Megan? Okay. Mm-hmm. It took me a while to like figure out what people were talking about when they call a tubing mascara. But if you've never used one, it goes on a little differently, not that differently. It comes off very differently. Like, it comes off completely when you remove it. So like, there's no residue or smudging left on your eyelashes or on your eyelids or below.
It's like blueberry peels coming off of your eyelashes.
It looks like it's like the actual pieces of whatever synthetic paint that were on my eyelashes all day are now off. And this is a good news, bad news situation. It does feel really clean. Like my eyes, before I go to bed, after I have washed this off, there's nothing left on them. And with other mascaras, I would use, like, I'd wash my face and then I'd use like a makeup remover on a little cotton pad and I'd kind of wipe it. But still, I could tell there was still like, you know, old mascara kind of in between my lashes and stuff like that. Whereas this, it is gone, but it's not gone from the universe, Megan, because it's all over my sink. It's all over my face. It's all over. Like, so the pieces that come off they have to go somewhere. And it makes, in my opinion, it makes a huge mess. It's also, I don't really like the sensation of like, it's almost like you're pulling it off.
You almost have to kind of pull it off. Yeah.
I don't enjoy that. Okay. So I'm in between. I know this episode is about trying new products and reporting back. I have tried to like tubing mascara on and off for the last like 2 years. And I kind of go back and forth. And I think what I'm really looking for is more in the makeup removal category. So I have some soft, like really soft, like makeup removing cloths. I have liquid makeup remover. I don't really like to buy the disposable, like cloths that you throw away, because back to our sustainability conversation, but I do sometimes have those. I like to travel with those. And it feels like washing my face and removing my mascara at the end of the night is unpleasant to me right now. And I'm not really sure what to do about it. But the reason I'm bringing it up for this episode is my non-tubing mascara. My go-to has been L'Oreal Voluminous for, I don't know, 10 years. Before that, it was Maybelline Lash Discovery. I've worn like two mascaras in my whole life. And they changed the formula somehow. So even that, it's not a tubing style, but it's also not coming off. So I think what this really is actually a plea for a new makeup remover, maybe, or a something like something you put on your face to actually remove this stuff, or a cloth or something, because it's a big old mess.
Okay. Well, I will tell you that I now only use my Thrive Cosmetics tubing mascara, and I do not have this problem.
It's like, I don't have the razor problem,
but I used to, but I have had this problem before. So let me ask you one thing. Remind me what your skin type has sort of fallen into.
You mean like sensitive or not sensitive? What do you mean?
Like oily, dry.
Mine is combination, but it leans dry. I lean much drier. I'm not super oily.
So here's where I've landed with this. Now, I'm a bath person. I know you are not. I am not. But I think you could maybe somewhat replicate my situation here. I take a bath almost every single night. Mm-hmm. I use oil cleansing at night.
Okay.
So what I do is I use an oil to clean my face, which I love. And I smear it all over my mascara. And then I take a washcloth, like an old fashioned washcloth. Yeah. And I just get it wet with warm water. And I just go whoop, whoop.
But then where do all the pieces go?
Well, then they're on the washcloth and then I just rinse them down the tub drain. But you could also, if they were on the washcloth and you were doing it this at the sink, you think it would be a lot easier to rinse it down the sink drain than it would be to peel them off and have them all over the place.
Yeah.
Like once they're on the washcloth.
When I wash my face, I look like, you know, when those like
splash stuff everywhere,
you know, like a dumb golden retriever who sticks his face in like a bowl of water to drink and it just goes like everywhere. That's like what I look like when I wash my face. It's very splashy. But
you don't use a washcloth, do you?
I have these soft cloths that not to actually wash my face, but I kind of use my hands and then I have a washcloth or these like soft, these little soft microfiber thingies that I dry my face with. But
Well, I'm wondering too. And I also just like a washcloth because it's like a really good way to do like a little mechanical exfoliation. Yeah. So I'm wondering if you just had a little stack of cheapies and mm-hmm. the ones I like the best are actually the very cheap, very thin ones. I really like those. I don't like for my face. I don't like the thicker. Yeah. They're too much.
I'm so I like the about really thin baby washcloths, the ones that my kids used to have when they were really tiny. Those were thin and
But they don't have much of a loop. So yes, but they don't have that exfoliating. I don't know if it matters, but they don't have that grip. Yeah. But I know what you're talking about. But they're like almost so soft. They might be too soft.
Yeah.
So you might be a little too soft on your face is what I'm getting at. And I just use it. And then what you could do, though, is if you had like 5 or 6 of them, then you just toss it in the washing machine as is.
Yeah.
And let the washing machine deal with it. It's worth trying because it's simple. And I do think that the oil and the hot water or the warm water helps. Like I think the combination of like the oil creates the slip. The warm water kind of gets things moving. And then there's the mechanical motion. And I'm not like pulling on my eye skin.
Yeah.
It's gentle, but it's either that or literally I used to use my fingernails to literally pull the tubes off. And I was like, well, this isn't good for my eyelids or my eyelashes. Yeah. I didn't want to do that anymore. So,
okay.
I don't know. Well, maybe someone else will have a different, I don't know that there's any like makeup remover that actually would dissolve it or something. I don't think that's how they work.
Yeah, I don't think it is either. So I think you've inspired me to stick with it. I actually, in terms of like buying something new, I like the Thrive mascara enough that I just bought it in a different color. I like to have both brown and black. I'm a big mascara gal. So I'm willing to keep trying, especially because my L'Oreal go-to absolutely changed something about their formula. And so it, I think, is dead to me now. So I'm just in a transition phase. So I will try all of your
tips. Do you remember how long it took me to even like that mascara? Because I was very resistant to it at first.
Yeah.
And now
I wasn't
so
crazy
hooked.
About it either. But I, it has grown on me and it is a nice look. And I did just notice that Thrive actually has a non-tubing mascara on their website too. So, I don't know, but let's stick with this and I'll report back.
The other thing I was going to say is that sometimes I'll still find a tube of non-tubing mascara. I haven't bought any in a long time, but I have them. Like I have one in my purse, I think, and maybe my travel bag. And now when I use it, first of all, I notice that the tips, like the mascara kind of wears off the tips of my eyelashes really fast. And it doesn't do that with the Thrive. And it just doesn't have that thick, full look that now I'm kind of hooked on.
Yeah.
So, and the smudging and the, you know, all of that. So, I think we should try to stick with it and get you through this.
Okay. All right. I'll report back.
Okay. Well, I'll talk about some makeup.
Okay.
I have been using Elf, which I never really used before. It is a drugstore brand.
Yeah, I've seen it, but not used it.
So Clara, for Christmas last year, I got her an Elf advent calendar. And all the stuff that was kind of like not appropriate for a 15-year-old, she gave me. And so I suddenly ended up with some Elf products. I was like, oh, these are really nice for, you know, it's a good reminder that you can get really good stuff in a drugstore brand now that they've come a long way. And so I ended up going, I just felt like I needed some new face stuff. I was like my tinted sunscreen moisturizers that I've been using were getting like a little old and I wasn't sure they were actually working anymore. And I just found myself in the, you know, makeup aisle and ended up buying 2 different primers. One is like a green to kind of offset redness. Uh-huh. And, you know, they have a bunch of different colors. And then I got one that I believe is called Elf Glow. I'm going to look it up right now because it's a primer serum. It was called Suntouchable Whoa Glow.
Okay.
It's in a white tube. It's a lot of words. but it's kind of like a tinted moisturizer. It's an SPF 30 sunscreen, which is not always easy to find in that kind of product. And it has a little shimmer. And it goes on super duper light, so you don't have to get it like as an exact match. I really like how it looks. Okay. So it just reminded me that I like primers in general. It's not a category that I've spent a lot of time in.
I don't know.
I think I always thought they were something you would like layer under a heavy foundation. And I don't really wear foundation, but actually I think you can wear them on their own. And they just kind of create, I don't know, they just kind of create a smooth canvas. And then I have a compact and I use a brush and I just really lightly tap on powder to just kind of take down if there's too much shine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That doesn't look good with my like 46 year old skin. I'm finding the more, if it's too shiny, it's not a good look. Mm-hmm. So there is that. And then on the other side, I wanted to report back about some glossier lip colors that I actually bought last year. So this is a little bit outside of the realm of the time, you know, the new.
Yeah.
But I didn't start using them until like last month. So when I got married last year, I bought a whole bunch of new makeup.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And one of the things that the brands that I went kind of all in on was Glossier because I thought they had such nice colors. And I bought several lipsticks in like different formulations, like some that are like more matte and opaque and some that are a little lighter. And then I guess I maybe just used one on my wedding day and then never touched them again. I don't really remember, but I've gone back to them in the last month and I really like them. The pigment is really nice. The colors are fun. They're like bright, fun colors, but they don't look like they're going to smear up into my upper lip or you know what I mean? And they're good. They're high quality. That's what I'm saying. So yeah, I'm like between primer and sticking with my eyelashes and these fun lip colors, I'm kind of all set on makeup for the season.
You just need your new wardrobe.
Exactly. That's coming.
Okay. That's It'll be for here spring. Soon. I love it. Well, my last one is a product that is new again, but actually very old to me. And it is kid related. It's family related. So we had these placemats when my kids were small, and they are, I put a link in our show notes, Megan, and I'll link for the listener, but they're a simple laminated placemat and it's called Painless Learning. And I got like a 6-pack of them when my kids were little, and we had everything from like a map of the United States. We had one that was all the presidents in order. We had one that was sight words and like early phonics. We had one that was money. But if you picture, like, it looks like a poster that would be in a second grade classroom. It's just like little facts or diagrams on different learning subjects. We particularly liked the maps because I can't tell you how many times over the years we'd be talking about something with the kids or as a family and be like, wait a second, where is that again? And so we would get out this old placemat. We had one map of the world and one map of the United States, and we'd pull it out to, you know, fact check ourselves. And so most of the placemats got put at the very bottom of a drawer, and they also started to get ripped and torn. But we happened to get them out, and the kids were so funny. They were like, they had the presidents out and they were quizzing each other. And I just thought, I'm going to surprise my kids and I'm going to go see if this company still exists. And I'm going to buy some new Painless Learning placemats, but have them be things that maybe are more like in line with what the kids are learning about and talking about these days. So I went online. Company still exists. You can get them on Amazon or straight from them. I got a periodic table of the elements. I got one about like weather and science. I got a bunch more maps because I think geography is fascinating. We're traveling more. Like I love it. So my teenagers could not be more excited when they come to the dinner table and there's like basically what's a little kid plastic placemat under their plate. But I can't tell you how many funny dinner table conversations it has inspired. Oh, there's an anatomy one. We got the human body one. But there's so many. There's like breeds of birds, types of birds. And so it was kind of the type of thing I thought our family had grown out of, and we totally hadn't. And it's brought me so much joy.
I love that so much. And I love that you're like still buying kind of kid related products like that.
Well, I wasn't. Like, right, was, you weren't. Like, but I just got a wild hair and I'm so glad I did. Yeah.
it's so fun when like something like that, when especially when your kids are getting older and you kind of think they've all outgrown joy. We've all outgrown joy here. There is no fun. Sometimes I think like that's the best time to do something like that because it's the nostalgia factor.
Like if you, Megan, brought home some Play-Doh and set it on the table, don't you think Owen and Clara would open it up and start playing with Play-Doh? So it's like,
oh my gosh. Yes. I think I might do that.
Yeah. So it was a good reminder to me. And I think dinner table culture, we've talked about so many times, and I wouldn't have said, oh, we needed to inject something else into our dinner table routine. But it was like the thing I didn't know we needed because it has brought about some very funny and fun and interesting dinner table conversations.
Okay. So the last one I'm going to talk about was a total internet impulse purchase. Didn't know I needed these things until the internet, but the internet knew. It knew that I needed them. So they're called Happy Feet socks. You know, like when you get a pedicure and there's like the little toe separators, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like those built into a pair of socks. It's not toe socks. It doesn't cover your toes. It just separates your toes. Now, you don't wear these with, I guess you could wear them with shoes. The idea is that you wear them therapeutically when you're not walking around.
That would feel really good.
It feels really good.
I want.
And I've had a lot of weird foot issues over the last year or so that have created like foot pain and things like that. I can't say it's cured that. It hasn't. But
that seems like a claim you'd read on the internet.
That claim I could not make, but it feels good to put them on. It feels like if you've worn shoes that are even a little bit crunchy on your feet, it just like your toes all spread out. And I just put them on at night. Like if I'm watching TV or reading or whatever, I wear them usually at night and in the morning. They do say you can work up to wearing them all night. I think I did that like once and thought I woke up in the middle of the night and was like, get these off of me. So I don't do that, but I do wear them probably an hour a day and they're great.
Do you find that when you wear them, are your feet up and resting or are you walking around or some of both?
I don't like to walk in them.
Okay.
I almost feel like I'm going to injure myself.
Okay. So it's really spread.
Yeah. They're really spread out. So it would make your gait. It's not like if I have to refill my drink or something, I'll kind of shuffle off to the kitchen, but I would not wear these in like on a regular day, like walking around, because I just feel like it makes my gait weird and I already have issues with that.
I want these immediately. First of all, but I love feel amazing. Everything foot. I love foot massages. I also have a family history of foot issues. And so I know there's like, I don't know, various neuropathies and things in my future. I'm just maybe as a dancer, that just sounds amazing. I want them immediately.
I have the pink pair with like multicolored little toe things. So if you get the same, then we can like have pictures of our feet looking the same. But they have, you know, I think it was Instagram that told me about these. Thank you, Instagram. Yeah. But I have really loved them. And they're supposed to be good. They're called like alignment socks. So they're supposed to be good for any issues with foot alignment, bunions, things like that. And they just feel good.
Yeah, I really want these. Ooh, what a great one to end on.
Yeah.
Well, listeners, we really need your help, obviously, with everything from sleeping with our watches on to mascara to razor blades.
All of the things. Help all us. Of the
Megan's new look, new spring look.
Help dress me.
Help us out. We are hello@themomhour.com. We are also pretty active in our listener Facebook group. And even when we are not there and active, the community there is fun and kind and supportive. And so that's a place to meet other Mom Hour listeners if you have not joined. And Megan, we have a bonus episode coming up this Friday. So listeners can expect to hear us again in just a few days. I will talk to you then.
Yeah, we'll talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to The Mom Hour. Everything we talked about in today's episode is available at themomhour.com. And hey, while you're there, you can find more than 500 podcast episodes, plus articles, playlists, and resources about motherhood and parenting at every stage.
And if you like today's episode, we'd love it if you would take a minute to share the show with another mom in your life. You can also find us on Instagram @themomhour, chatting and interacting with listeners between episodes.
Thanks for being here, friends. We'll talk to you soon.
The Mom Hour is supported by partners like Erica. Erica is the social media health app for teens that gives them the tools to unplug when they need to for improved health, study focus, sleep, and daily balance.
Erica was built by a dad of three boys who saw that teens themselves were really becoming self-aware to the risks of social media, and he wanted to help them self-regulate. Erica works to hide distracting apps from your phone at the touch of a button, keeping them out of sight and out of mind without deleting your data.
Tell your teens about Erica and save 20% on the Erica family plan with promo code THEMOMHOUR. Go to erica.app and search for plans. That's Erica with a K, Erika.app, and use code THEMOMHOUR to save 20%. The Mom Hour is brought to you by the Essential Calendar. Sarah, this is our favorite calendar for busy moms because its beautiful and simple design shows around 3 months at a time.
Yeah, and with summer fast approaching, now is a great time to get the Essential Calendar and see what I've been raving about all these years. Get 10% off your order at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour. That's 10% off at theessentialcalendar.com/themomhour.